amazing morning, actually. We were going around town blessing people. The greengrocers gave us some fruit that needed to be eaten that day, and we got rid of the fruit. We gave that to people who looked like they would like some, and then they took it. And we were praying for people. We were chatting to people about the good news. And amazingly, Pat led one person to Jesus yesterday, just out on the streets there. A young lady who has been going to a church but has never heard the gospel. And Pat shared the gospel, and they said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. So she prayed, and that person gave their life to Jesus. So we're like, thank you, Lord. That's amazing. So, yeah. Thank you, everyone that came.
What did Jim teach us last week? A joy shout.
A joy shout. Yay!
Yay! It's a big shout. I'm sure yesterday in heaven there was a huge shout. As there often is, or there always is.
What is it the Lord wants us to do next? And I had a sense, he wants us to worship. And so I'm going to be doing a short series on the Psalms. And one of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 100. So I'm going to start off with Psalm 100. It says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Come before him with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. So today we're going to look at Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And Psalm 100 is one of the best known and best loved of the Psalms. There's 150 of them, and they were songs, they were sung. And this is the only psalm that is titled a Psalm of Thanksgiving. Isn't that amazing? Out of 150 psalms. And they believe this Psalm 100 was sung as they entered the temple of Jerusalem. As they came into the courts, they would be shouting and singing this psalm. And this psalm was sung by the early church. And it's been sung ever since for over 2,000 years. Isn't that incredible? This must be the most sung hymn ever. There's something really special about Psalm 100. The theme throughout is worship. And the structure of the psalm is in three parts. Verses 1 and 2 talks about praising God, rejoicing. Verse 3 talks about knowing the Lord. And verses 4 and 5 talks about being thankful to God. This psalm is believed to have been written by David, but it is not ascribed to anyone. It's to everyone. This psalm begins with praise, and then it gives you the reasons for it in verse 3. And then it goes to praise again, as if praising God once wasn't enough. It has to do it again. Verse 1 starts, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. The NRSV says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. The Amplified says, all you lands. Praise the Lord. So this is our first point. We are to rejoice in verses 1 to 2. Psalm 100 is a global call for worship. All the earth means all of creation is worshiping God. It's an invitation for all peoples, all nations, all tribes, all languages, all tongues to gather before the Lord's throne of grace. And it's a call to do three things, to make a joyful noise to the Lord, to worship the Lord with gladness, and to enter his presence with singing. We're to make a joyful noise because the Lord is King of all the earth. And this is not just any noise. This is a shout of triumph. The King is crowned. Long live the King. And we're saying, Lord, you are our God, and we are your people. And that's why we shout for joy. Verse 2 says, we worship the Lord, or we serve the Lord with gladness. The ESV says, we come into his presence with singing. This is joyful. And I imagine that procession leading up to Jerusalem, shouting and singing, bursting with song as they enter God's temple. And they're not just singing about the Lord, they're singing to the Lord. We're not just singing about Jesus, we're singing to Jesus. Long live the King. And our songs, it says in Hebrews, is a sacrifice of praise to God. Timothy Keller says that we worship what we value most. What do you value most? Worship should be joyful. It should not be a duty. It should not be a chore. It's a heartfelt response to who he is and what he's done for us. And in fact, there's a sense that all of our life is an act of worship. Everything we do for the glory of God. Amen. Carol Wimber says, we don't worship God to be blessed, but we're blessed when we worship him. And worship in the Hebrew is also about serving. We worship God, but we serve God. We serve the Lord, and it means to give him our best, our time, our talent, and our treasure. To serve the Lord is to give to God rather than to receive from him. We give him our attention, our devotion, our obedience, because he's worth it. And we worship and we rejoice. And that's the first part, verse 1 and 2. Verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. The NRSV says, and we're not ourselves. He made us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Isn't that a wonderful picture? So secondly, we're to know the Lord. We're to know him personally. Let me ask a question. Why should we worship? Well, here in verse 3, it gives us the answer, because the Lord is God. Psalm 100 focuses on God all the way through. Notice the repetition of God's name. In verse 1, we shout to the Lord. In verse 2, we serve the Lord. In verse 3, we know the Lord is God. And in verse 5, we know the Lord is good. There's the repetition of his name. But notice also the pronouns here. We come before him in verse 2. He made us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Verse 3. We are his. The gates are his. The courts are his. The earth is his. It's all his. And in Psalm 100, it's all about him. God is so important that there's not one line that is without him. And Psalm 100 says it is with joy that we're to know the Lord. And when we know him, there's joy. To know him means to know by our own experiences. To know the Lord is to acknowledge and confess the Lord is God. The Amplified Bible says to know is to perceive, is to recognize, is to understand, and then to approve that Jesus is Lord. And the Lord here is Yahweh. Jesus is Yahweh. The only true God. There is no other God. Only he is worthy of worship. And we are to know the Lord better. We're to know him better and better. And the better we know him, the more we love him. The more we love him, the more we trust him. The more we trust him, the more we obey him. And it says that God made us like the potter shapes the clay. Here is the language of creation. God is also the creator. God said, let us make human beings in our image and likeness in Genesis 1:26. And this phrase, made us, is more than created. It means he calls us, he calls you and me, chosen people. We are his. God made us. We didn't make ourselves. We're not a self-creation. We are totally dependent on him. Every breath we breathe is from him. And notice here also the words us and we repeated over. We belong to God. He claimed us as his own. He made us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And in the Old Testament, the Lord was the shepherd of God's people. He was the shepherd. In Exodus 3:15, the Lord made himself known to his people. He guided his people safely through the wilderness. He protected them. He provided for them. And that's what a shepherd does. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. And he welcomes all people to follow him. So why do we worship? We worship because the Lord is God. Because he made us. And we are his. And that's the second part. Know the Lord. Verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The ESV says we bless his name. And in the Gospels, you see that before there's a miracle, Jesus gives thanks. And you see before a breakthrough, he gives praise. Our third part is we're to be thankful, verse 4 and 5. There are commands in verses 1, 2 and 3 to shout and to sing and to worship him. And here in verses 4 and 5 are three more commands. To enter his presence, to give thanks and praise him. And notice the call to give thanks is repeated twice. In verse 4, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and we give thanks to him. That is the emphasis. We give him thanks and praise. So this means that we can enter his presence, his gates and courts with confidence. When you go to pray, you enter with confidence because he is the God who made us. He is the king who chose us to be his people. And he is the shepherd that leads us and calls us to be his flock. And I was looking at different translations of this passage and I came across the Message. And I absolutely love this. I just want to share what it says in the Message. We enter God's presence with a password. And you might ask, what is the password? The password is thank you. Don't you love that? And today, medical studies have shown that giving thanks is actually good for our health. Did you know that? It's good for our health. It reduces stress. It boosts our immunity. Isn't that amazing? And then neuroscience have found out that you cannot have anxiety and thanksgiving at the same time. The brain can't process that. They can't coexist in our brains. We're either anxious or we're giving thanks. We can't do both at the same time. And the more we praise God, the more thankful we become. Verse 5. For the Lord is God. His steadfast love endures forever. The King James says his mercy is everlasting. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And it's really interesting that in the Hebrew, the word for faithfulness is also the word for truth. It's the same word. The King James says his truth endures forever. And in verse 5, we have the first reason to give thanks. The Lord is good. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Know for yourself, taste and see the Lord is good. He does good things. He is the source of all good things. And we can praise him because he is eternally good and eternally good to us. The second reason we can give thanks to the Lord is his love endures forever. And the word here, the Hebrew word, is hesed. And in the King James, it's translated his mercy. In the ESV, it says his steadfast love. In the NASB translation, it says his loving kindness. And in the NLT, it says his unfailing love. It is all of these things. His mercy, his steadfast love, his loving kindness, his unfailing love. This is a love that keeps loving, no matter what. This is a love that doesn't stop. It is constant, it's a loyal love, and it is everlasting. And as the Lord's love endures forever, so his faithfulness endures to every generation. It means the Lord is faithful. He is trustworthy. It means we can count on him always. And that's the third reason we can give thanks. So let me summarize this morning. Psalm 100 is a call for people to do three things. To enter his gates, his presence, with thanksgiving. To give thanks to him. And to bless his name. Thank you, Jesus. And there are three reasons to thank the Lord. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. And his faithfulness is to all of us for all time. Psalm 100 is a call for action. For all the peoples of the earth will worship the Lord. And Psalm 100 is also a glimpse of the future when all people of the earth will worship the Lord as God. And we see a picture of this in Revelation 7, a great multitude from every nation, all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God." They fall on their faces and they worship God, singing, "Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And I was kind of thinking, is there an application in this for us? And then the Lord gave me something that my friend Carolyn does. Carolyn's got an old coffee jar. It's empty. She's drunk all her coffee and she uses that jar. And what she does is, every time there's a reason to give thanks to God, she writes it down on a piece of paper and she puts it in her jar. And then she watches the jar fill up and fill up. And when it's completely full, she'll empty it and she'll go through all of the things that she's given thanks to God for. You can use any jar, but make it plastic, not glass. Thank you, Chris. So in conclusion, Psalm 100 has three parts to it. Rejoice. It asks us to know the Lord and be thankful. We worship the Lord because he's God and because he's good. And we give thanks because the Lord is loving and the Lord is faithful. Let's pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, you are worthy of our worship. And we lift up our hearts to you, Lord. We lift up our hands to you and we raise our voices to you, Lord. Because you deserve all thanks and all praise. Because you are God and you are good. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. We thank you for saving us, Lord. We're thankful that we're going to be with you forever. And you're with us now, and we thank you, Lord, for your word, which teaches us about you, Lord. Lord, thank you for making us your people, the sheep of your pasture. Lord, thank you for every blessing that you give to us. Thank you for being with us through every trial that we go through. Lord, thank you for who you are, and we praise you for all that you do. And we ask you, Lord, take us deeper in our relationship with you. Help us to know you and experience your presence in new ways. And all the saints say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you feel? There's a little bit at the end of the sermon. I thought it might be nice to show you how they sang this in the early church. And it was by using a refrain. So you'd have the person leading it, would read out the stuff that's not in bold. And if you'd like to join with me, where it's in bold, that's for the whole of the members to speak out. And there's a kind of refrain going on. And they believe this is how they would have sang this hymn. So I'll show you what I mean. So make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing and know that the Lord is God. Very good. And enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing our final song together.